Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, with keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue our worship service with the singing of Psalter 120, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Judge me, God of my salvation, plead my cause, for thee I trust. Hear my earnest supplication, save me from my foes unjust. O my soul, why art thou grieving? What disquiets and dismays? Hope in God, his help receiving, I shall yet my Savior praise. Psalter 120, the first three stanzas.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this evening, you can find in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 5, starting at verse 33 till the end of the chapter. He mentioned to you Matthew, chapter 5, from verse 33 through 48. But before we will do confession with the words of the 12 articles of our undoubted Christian faith, I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. In Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 33. Again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be, yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but for whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor, and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to shine on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Thus far.
Congregation, let us ask for the Lord's presence and for his blessing. Let us pray together. Almighty, merciful, gracious Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, Thou who hast created all things, Thou who upholds all things, in Thee we live and move and have our being, and without Thee we can do nothing. We are completely dependent upon Thee. And Lord, in this evening hour, on this first day of the week, on a day that Thou hast given unto us to come to Thy house, to worship Thee, to hear what Thou hast to say unto us, we beg and ask Thee, Lord, that Thou would gather with us, that thou would give those blessings from above. Lord, we have heard in this morning that thou hast sent thy Son to proclaim liberty unto captives, and thou hast that power to deliver those who are under the bondage of sin, who are born dead in sins and trespasses, and who are on that broad way by nature leading unto eternal destruction. O Lord, thou alone art that one who can rescue, who can bring that true deliverance, who can bring life into the hearts of dead sinners. Oh, may we beg thee, Lord, could have been in this morning, but may it be also tonight, that it's the time of thy sovereign good pleasure that thou would pass by sinners and that thou would say, live. Lord, we have plunged ourselves into misery. We have left thee the fountain of all good, never to return. What a wonder that thou art yet willing to give a day to come to hear thy precious word, that thou art yet willing to speak unto us, that thou art yet willing to call unto us, rebels of the dust, enemies, sinful, polluted, corrupt, wicked sinners, that thou art yet willing to call, look unto me, and be ye saved, that thou art yet willing to call and to speak, repent, turn away from all sin, and to also call to true faith in thy only dear beloved Son. Lord, we are only worthy of eternal wrath, but it's all of thy mercy. And Lord, we come to thy house so often, taking all these blessings for granted. And there is a people also on this earth, thy church, the persecuted ones, who can only meet in fear for life, for torture, for being imprisoned. Uphold them. And may we then not take these blessings, the mercies of thee, for granted. May it not testify against us, but may it be blessed by the irresistible power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, by nature we only harden our hearts. As we grow older, we become harder. Oh, we beg thee, thou hast promised that thy word will never return unto thee void, and it will accomplish thy purpose. Oh, may it be to new life, to the breaking of hard hearts, to the renewing of hearts. Oh, wilt thou take away hearts of stone and give hearts of flesh, hearts that confess sin, hearts that cry out unto thee, what must I do to be saved? Hearts that hunger and thirst for thee, for the living God. Hearts that long for a crumb from the Master's table, and that long for thee to visit them, to comfort them, to instruct them. And Lord, in thy providence, then we are also again tonight to consider part of thy law. And thou hast a people that thou wilt renew and has renewed. And thou hast placed thy law in their hearts. And they long out of love for thee, for thy name, for thy honor, for thy glory, to know thy will, to know how to live in a way that is according to thy holy will. Oh, we beg thee then that thou would bless the preaching of thy law to the instruction, to the correction, to the sanctification of all thy dear people. Oh, that they may grow then in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, but that they may also, by thy grace, be more and more conformed to the image of thy Son, that they may produce more fruit, that there may be more holiness, more hatred for sin, more zeal for thy honor, for thy glory, living in the world, but not of the world, and that they may be a light in this world. Lord, do it for thy name's sake and for their comfort. But, oh, we beg thee also, when thy law may be preached, oh, wilt thou use it as an arrow to convict and convince sinners of their sins, and that they may be brought to true repentance, true bowing before thee. Oh, that sinners who are guilty and who even confess they are guilty, and yet they miss that experimental knowledge, that teaching of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that it may become real, that guilty sinners become lost sinners, condemned sinners before thee, a holy and a just God who will by no means clear the guilty. We beg and pray thee, Lord, it's thy work. Thou alone can open spiritually blind eyes. Thou alone can only open spiritually deaf ears, enlighten minds to the truths of thy word, and give a heart that truly accepts thy word and confesses and says, truth, Lord, that's who I am. I'm a sinner. I sin against all thy commandments, and I'm only worthy of eternal wrath. But oh, wilt thou also give that the preaching of the precious gospel of what thou hast given in thy dear Son and who he is for wretched sinners. Oh, wilt thou reveal him unto guilty lost sinners, and that they may see him for the first time or by renewal. Oh, may we hear something also of that covenant faithful keeping Jehovah and of thy oaths. Oh, what a comfort it is for thy people, because they have no comfort in themselves. But oh, may they learn and know and experience more and more that in thee there is salvation. In themselves, it's all sin polluted, but that thou art that triune covenant keeping faithful Jehovah, and salvation is of God, in God, and through God. Oh, bring thy people then to that true place of rest, to rest in thee and who thou art, through thy Son, by the application of the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we beg thee, remember the whole congregation, all those who are unconverted, convert them, Lord. Renew them, draw them, with the cords of love unto thyself, and then they will run after thee. Turn them, and they shall be turned. Lord, we beg thee then also for thy people. Thy word is profitable for all things. Thou knowest those with many questions and riddles. Oh, may they hear and may they be solved by thy word, by the application of the Holy Spirit. Remember those who need correction. Those who are going astray, bring them back. But remember also those who long for a little comfort, for a little instruction for their soul. Oh, that thou would visit them. Remember then in thy mercy the whole congregation. Remember those who had an opportunity to gather with us and had no desire. Oh, wilt thou remember them in thy mercy? What will it be to have the opportunity to be under the means of grace, to be able to come in thy house and to hear what thou hast to say unto them, but they refuse, and then to die and stand before thee? Oh, then they will only meet wrath. Oh, we beg thee, give life. Remember prodigal sons and daughters with baptized forehead. Thou in thy providence has placed them under the means of grace and even put thy name on their forehead, but they have left the truth. They are living in the world. Thou knowest the pain, the grief, and the hearts of parents. O Lord, thou hast brought that prodigal son to himself, and thou art that same almighty, faithful, living God of heaven and earth. O, we beg thee, awaken them. Bring them to repentance. Bring them back to the truth and to be under the means of grace, and that it may be a blessing unto them. Remember also all those in Bethany Care Home who may not have the opportunity to go up to thy house anymore because of old age and the cares of the body and the mind. Oh, may they also on thy day and through the week be under the means of grace, and that thou would bless it. Lord, they are older. The old must die. Oh, prepare them. Prepare them before they must die unprepared, and then to meet thee. Oh, we beg thee, teach them those lessons that thou wilt teach all thy dear people, that grace that thou revealest unto the saints, reveal it unto them and also unto us, to our children, to the young people, to the adults, to the older ones. We all have the same name, sons of Adam, sinners, rebels, corrupt, polluted sinners. And we all need thy grace, and we all need the same Savior, thy dear Son. O Lord, we beg thee, do not hold thy hand still, but work mightily among us in this congregation and in the neighboring congregations. Help our brothers to preach thy precious word, death in Adam and life in Christ. And Lord, thou hast not called angels, thou hast called sons of men, and through the foolishness of preaching, thou wilt gather thy people. Oh, may we have a longing to belong unto that people, to be one of the sheep of that good shepherd. Lord, thou hast the power to change goats into sheep. By nature we were born as goats, and we need to be made sheep, and thou alone art that one who can work in the hearts to renew, to teach, to strip of everything, to be clothed with thee, with thy riches of thy grace, through thy dear Son. Lord, we beg and ask thee to remember all those thou hast placed to rule in this nation. Oh, may we beg thee, give them the fear of the Lord. Lord, that there may be a returning back to thee, to thy word, to the law, and to the testimonies. This nation was founded on Christian principles, but we have cast thee out. And now we also call the precious truths of thy word hate literature. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, have mercy on us. We are only worthy of all thy judgments and wrath because of all our sins against all thy commandments and all that thou hast instituted in thy precious word of marriage, also of male and female. But also, Lord, there's so much blood in this nation that cries unto thee for vengeance, the sin of euthanasia, the sin of abortion. Oh, we beg thee that the means that are used to speak against this great sins, that they may be blessed, that also in government, that they may be convicted, and that they may make laws to protect life from the moment of conception until natural death. Oh, that they may make laws in this nation that marriage is only between one man and one woman, that they may also know that sin is sin. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, have mercy upon us. Lord, thou hast said in thy word that we are to pray unto thee, that thou would thrust out labors into thy vineyard. We beg thee that thou would then call men with thy grace, taught by thee, call them by thy word. Oh, may they hear thy voice, and that they would surrender and come forward, and that thou would open the doors and gladden us with thy deeds. And may we thank thee that also in our denomination that thou hast given to students, help them, Lord, especially student Rosaboom, as he's called to speak an edifying word. Lord, be on his left, be on his right, uphold him, help him, and may he be an instrument in thy hands. Remember the theological instructors, give them a little rest, and that they may return, the Lord willing, in September to continue the instruction. Lord, look upon us in mercy, remember us as families. Give faithfulness to husbands, to wives, that they may love each other, care for each other, for this life, and for the life to come. Help us as parents, give faithful fathers and mothers, that we may live according to the promise we have made unto thee, and that thy word may be opened in our homes, and that it may be a blessing, that the children may listen, and that thou would work mightily in hearts of sinners. Lord, remember all those with addictions. Oh, what power of sin, of drugs, and of other addictions and alcohol. Thou hast the power to break those bonds. Look upon them in mercy, Lord. And so we lay these needs before thee. Remember also the elders who are called to lead the services. The coming Lord's Day, thy will be done. Guide them, help them. Give them a word to speak and bless it. Give that we may be a praying congregation, one for the other, that we may have that bond of love and unity, that we have one desire for thy name to be honored and to be glorified, and that sinners would be born again. Lord, work mightily, work irresistibly, renewing sinners and teaching and leading. Give what is needed tonight. Each time is a new time, and without thee we can do nothing. Give much prayer. Give the unction of the Holy Spirit to listen, but also to preach. And may it be an hour in thy favor and under thy blessing. Lord, we deserve nothing. We have left thee never to return, and we can only present unto thee our sins. But we beg thee, Lord, wash us, cleanse us, and that all atoning blood, and cover us with that righteousness which we do not have. Hear us, answer us, visit us, because of thy name's sake, for thy honor, for thy glory could it be, and for the name of thy dear Son, in whose name we pray, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 241, the first five stanzas. My song forever shall record the tender mercies of the Lord. Thy faithfulness will I proclaim, and every age shall know thy name. 241, the first five stanzas, and the collections for this evening is first for the church and the second for the building fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Thank you. Dear congregation, maybe you have noticed that the third commandment is the only one in the Heidelberg Catechism that has two Lord's Days to explain it, Lord's Day 36 and 37. Why? Well, in the history of the church arose a great debate about whether a Christian could swear an oath. And in the time of the Reformation, the Anabaptists severely condemned the making of any oaths. And they pointed to just a tiny little phrase that you heard read to you from Matthew 5, verse 34. The little phrase, swear not at all. They say, see, you must never ever swear. So they just pointed to that one little phrase. And yet others, the reformers, said that it is acceptable in certain circumstances to make an oath according to the word of God. So that led to many questions. Can a Christian make an oath, swear an oath? What instruction does God give in his word? What does the Lord Jesus Christ himself also teach about making an oath, also in Matthew 5, verse 33 through 37? So let us now read a summary about making an oath, which you can read in Lord's Day 37, Questions and Answers 101 and 102. And to find it in the back of your Psalter, on page 74. Lord's Day 37. Question answer 101. May we then swear religiously by the name of God? Yes. Either when the magistrates demand it of the subjects, or when necessity requires us thereby to confirm fidelity and truth to the glory of God and the safety of our neighbor. For such an oath is founded on God's word, and therefore was justly used by the saints both in the Old and the New Testament. Question and answer 102. May we also swear by saints or any other creatures? No, for a lawful oath is calling upon God as the only one who knows the heart, that he will bear witness to the truth and punish me if I swear falsely, which honor is due to no creature. So tonight, with the Lord's help and blessing, this following theme, the swearing of an oath. The swearing of an oath. Three thoughts, three questions. May we swear an oath? Are the Anabaptists right? Or are the reformers right? What does the Lord say in his word? So may we swear an oath. That's the first thought, the first question. The second is, what is swearing an oath? What is it? What are we doing? What are we asking? And then third, what is the consequence of breaking an oath? We read of punishment. We read of examples in the Bible. So what is the consequence of breaking an oath? And then we hope to end with a few words about the oaths of God. So, the swearing of an oath. First, may we swear an oath? Second, what is swearing an oath? And third, what is the consequence of swearing an oath? And so, our first thought, the first question, may we swear an oath? What is the biblical foundation about an oath? So why do the authors of the Heidelberg Catechism so strongly defend the right to religiously swear by the name of God? And why did they teach emphatically that Christians can make an oath? Well, I would like to begin answering this question with another question. What is our great and only and perfect example in the Bible for absolutely everything, also considering oaths? The Almighty God and the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For example, we read in the Word of God, be ye holy because God is holy. As we read in 1 Peter 1 verse 16, be ye holy for I am holy. Or, Be merciful because God is merciful. Luke 6, verse 36. Be therefore merciful as your Father in heaven also is merciful. But also be perfect, as we read at the very end of the chapter. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Children are called to be holy, they're called to be merciful, and they're called to be perfect as their Father in heaven. And so we see that who God is, who the Lord Jesus Christ is, his children, true Christians, are also to follow the example. So the Lord in his life upon this earth also gave an example, also about swearing an oath by his teaching and by his life while he was upon this earth. So now let's think about swearing an oath. Did the Almighty God of heaven and earth ever swear an oath? If he did, if it is so, may his children on this earth also swear an oath? May they also follow his example? Well, God has sworn oaths, and therefore oath swearing is also not wrong. His children at times may also swear an oath. But maybe you're wondering, when did God ever swear an oath? Is that really true? Well, let's look in our Bibles at a few examples where the Lord did swear an oath. First, Psalm 89, verse 35. Psalm 89, verse 35. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. So the Almighty God makes an oath. Now let's turn to Isaiah 14, verse 24. Isaiah 14, verse 24. And there we read of Jehovah, the Lord, all capital letters. Listen, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. So two examples from the Old Testament. But let's now turn to the New Testament. Open your Bible to Hebrews 6. We'll read verse 13 and 17. Hebrews 6, verse 13 and 17. And there we read in Hebrews 6, 13 and 17. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself. And then verse 17, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. So God, that Almighty Jehovah, he has made an oath. He has given oaths. Is it necessary for God to make an oath? Is not God's word sufficient? Is he not just all truth? Is he not trustworthy? Should he not be trusted? Should his word not be sufficient? Why did God then make an oath? Did he do it for himself, or did he do it for wretched sinners? What's the purpose? That God has made oath. He has made oaths for wretched sinners, for depraved sinners. They listen to his word and they say, is that really true? Is it really true? And even after grace, how they struggle with so much unbelief. So it's God's mercy that he proclaims something and he says it with an oath. I have sworn. So for depraved sinners, it's just impossible to completely, fully believe in the word of God. And so God, in his mercy and in his goodness and long-suffering patience for such unbelieving wretch, also his children, he has made an oath. So may a Christian make an oath? Yes, because God has made an oath. May a Christian make an oath? Yes, because the Lord Jesus Christ himself also. So you say, when did the Lord Jesus Christ ever make an oath? Well, then we need to go into the hall of Caiaphas, when he was before the council, before the high priest. And the high priest commanded the Lord Jesus Christ to swear by the living God whether he was the Christ. Did he swear an oath? Open your Bible to Matthew 26 and we'll read two verses. Matthew 26. And we read in verse 63. Matthew 26, verse 63. But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. So the Lord Jesus Christ is in the court. He's in the court. And now the high priest asks him, I adjure thee by the living God. In those words in Greek, it means I ask you to make an oath. So did the Lord Jesus answer? Did he make an oath? Well, let's read the next verse, verse 64. Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said, Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. So thou hast said, the Lord Jesus answered. No, he didn't literally say with his words, I make an oath, but he says, he answers, thou hast said. He's saying, yes. By the question, I adjure thee. He says, yes, he made an oath in a certain way. So may a Christian make an oath? May they? Is there examples that the Almighty God has made an oath? Yes. But also the Lord Jesus Christ. But there are there examples in the Bible that God's own dear children have made oaths. And was it acceptable or was it sin before God? Well, let's think of a couple Old Testament examples and one New Testament example. Children, remember Abraham? He was getting very old, and Isaac, his son, didn't have a wife. And so he called his elder servant. We believe that was Eliezer. And he asked him to not make an oath that he wouldn't find a wife for his son among the Canaanites, but that he would go back to his country to find a wife for his son. And he asked Eliezer to make an oath. And Eliezer made an oath. So we see an example of a God-fearing man, Abraham, the friend of God, calling his servant to make an oath. But then also the example of Saul and David. Saul was pursuing David, longing to kill him. But then one time, when David spared his life, then Saul asked David to make an oath. What oath? To not kill his family when he became king. He knew David was going to become king, but he asked David to make an oath. Surely David didn't make an oath to this wicked king that only wanted to kill him. Well, what do we read in 1 Samuel 24, verse 21 and 22? Swear now therefore unto me by the Lord, that thou wilt not cut off my seed after me, and that thou wilt not destroy my name out of my father's house. And David swore unto Saul. And Saul went home. And David and his men gat them up into the hold. So we see David, a man after God's own heart. He made an oath unto a wicked king, Saul. So may a Christian make an oath? Yes. Also by the example of God's children in the Bible. But what about the New Testament? What about with the further teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew? Did they still, God's children, make an oath? Yes, Paul. Paul also made an oath. Open your Bible to Romans 9. Paul was being accused of not having true love for his brethren. And Paul had no hesitation to call unto the Almighty God and to witness with an oath that this was false. Romans 9, and we'll read verses 1 through 3. He says, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. So Paul made an oath. I speak the truth in Christ. I also call upon the Holy Spirit to bear witness that this is the truth. But did God also ask people at times to make an oath? Yes. God even required in the Old Testament to make an oath. When? Well, for example, if you would borrow your neighbor's animal, for example, a donkey, and you would use that to work on your farm, and then maybe that animal died, or a lion came and killed it, or that it just wandered off and there was no witnesses. Then we read in the Word of God, then shall an oath of the Lord be between them both, that he hath not put his hand unto his neighbor's good, and the owner of it shall accept thereof, and he shall not make it good. So we have the example of the Almighty God. We have the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have example of God's own dear children making oaths. We hear the example that God even required at certain situations to make an oath. So we have heard a lot about the word an oath. And now if you would look in your Bible, in the Hebrew Concordance, and you would study all those words of an oath, every single one of them is in the passive verb tense. You say, what does that mean? Well, it means this, that it is only done when someone requires them to do it. They're required to do it. It's required of them to make an oath. It's not done just superficially. It's not done without any thought. It's only when an oath is given, when it's required to do. For example, of David, of Eliezer, of those from the Levitical law, or also of Paul, to give testimony of the absolute truth. So may a Christian swear an oath. Yes, Anabaptist, yes, we may. We are called to at certain times. But now maybe you have a question. What did the Lord Jesus then teach in Matthew 5? Let's consider that for a few moments. Let's read again Matthew 5, verses 33 through 37. Matthew 5, verse 33 through 37. Again ye have heard that have been said by them of old, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. So what is the Lord Jesus doing? We need to keep this in the context. The Lord Jesus Christ on the Sermon on the Mount is correcting false interpretations of the truth that God has given in the Old Testament. At that time, they were not teaching the truth of what God taught. They were teaching their own ideas. So he's correcting. He's also correcting about swearing, an oath. So what did God teach? He did teach at times you need to make an oath. You may, and it may be even inquired, but it must be done in truth. No false swearing. Do not take my name in vain by swearing a false oath. It needs to be done in truth. And an oath is always a very serious matter. But the Jews, the teachers at the time, had put the emphasis in the following manner. You shall not swear falsely in God's name. Or in other words, you can swear by other things. You can swear by other things, as we read in those verses 34, 35, and 36. They were saying, when you swear in God's name, it absolutely needs to be serious. But there's times where you can swear in other things. You could swear by your head. You could swear by the temple. You could swear by Jerusalem. Or you can swear by other things, by the temple, by heaven, or by earth. then it's not so serious because you haven't done it in God's name. You made an oath, but you haven't done it in God's name. And the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching that is not true. They were teaching that there was oaths that were only serious made in God's name, but other oaths were not serious at all. But the Lord Jesus is correcting them that there's only one true oath because everything is the Lord's. It's all His. He owns everything. And the truth is the truth. Every oath is serious. Don't cause confusion to say to swear an oath by something else than by in God's name. So what's the conclusion that the Lord Jesus taught in those verses? He said when it's necessary to make an oath, only when it's necessary to do it in the right, biblical, correct way. But also that all other things, it's not necessary to make an oath. Not at all. There's many things you don't need to make an oath at all. For example, you work. You go to work. You need to be at work at 8 o'clock. And you come to work at 8 o'clock, exactly on time. But your boss comes at 10 and he asks you a question. Did you come at 8? And you may say truthfully, yes, I came at 8. You don't need to make an oath. You don't need to swear. Never do that, children. Never do that, teenagers. Oh, I swear, such and such, I did this. No, don't take the Lord's name in vain. That is just to swear for everything. Never make it a joke. Never make it a calling for someone else for something so simple and trivial. Why? The Lord Jesus said, Matthew 5, verse 37, but let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these things cometh of evil. So, the end of the first thought. May we swear an oath as God's dear children? Yes, because God himself gave the example. The Lord Jesus Christ did. His people did, but it needs to be done in the absolute correct biblical way. So what is it then to make an oath? Let us first sing from Psalter 335, stanzas 1 and 2. 335, stanzas 1 and 2. Deceit and falsehood I abhor, but love thy law, thy truth revealed. My steadfast hope is in thy word. Thou art my refuge and my shield. The paths of sin I hate, I have not trod, but kept the precepts of my God. 335, stanzas 1 and 2. the swearing of an oath. May we swear an oath? Yes. But what is swearing an oath? If we hear we may do something, we need to clearly understand what God commands in His Word. So let's read again the answer of 102. May we also swear by saints or any other creatures? No. For a lawful oath is calling upon God as the only one who knows the heart, that He will bear witness to the truth and punish me if I swear falsely, which honor is due to no creature. So making an oath is a very serious thing. It's a very solemn thing. So what is a person literally doing when they make an oath? When they're making an oath, they are calling upon God to be a witness that what they are saying is the absolute truth. No lies. What I say is the truth. By making an oath, they are appealing to God, to Him who has all knowledge, to Him who knows everything. He knows the absolute truth. By making an oath, you're saying, Lord, Thou knowest that I am speaking the truth and nothing but the truth and only the truth. And by making an oath, you are calling upon God to punish you if you do not speak nothing but the truth. And so we see making an oath is a very serious thing. And there are times, also in our country, that the government requires to swear an oath. Should we obey them? Yes, we must. Unless it is against God's will. For example, when someone becomes a prime minister or a president or a governor, they are called by the government to make an oath when they are installed in their office. An oath is required to be a witness in court, to put your hand on the Bible and to make an oath that I swear that I say nothing but the truth. Oaths are also made sometimes in some countries when you come and you be part of the military, that you will give your life to defend your country. Oaths are also required in some professions, for example, to become a police officer. In some countries, they need to make an oath, to make an oath that they will protect the law and uphold the law. And they need to obey, as Paul says, because we read in Romans 13, verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. The government is over as God's hand to rule us, and there's times we need to obey. Now, to make an oath in a court and not tell the truth is taking the Lord's name in vain. Let's read Exodus 20, verse 7. Remember the commandment? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And so we heard of some oaths, but we sit here tonight. I stand here. Office bearers, parents, marriages, baptism, we've made oaths. Listen, I want you to think about the oaths that you have made, I have made. Oaths that we have made, promises unto God. They're not exactly oaths that we are called to make by the government. And yet, they're promises. They're promises, it's an oath to the Almighty God. Different context. And yet, they're oaths. Have you made a vow to God? Have you? A vow is making a promise to the Almighty God. Have you made public confession of faith to become a member? Remember those four questions and the four answers? You said yes, 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 and yes. You made a promise to God. How are you living? Are you living according to the oath, to the vow that you have made to God? You didn't only make it publicly to the congregation. You made it to the Almighty God. What about, are you married? Husbands, wives. We make an oath unto death till we part. We made an oath to each other, but we also made it to God. Parents, when you baptized your children, you made an oath to God standing here. And you said, yes, that I will with the utmost of our power to raise my child that the God, Almighty God, has placed in my care to the utmost of our power. How are you living according to your vow, to your oath, to your promise to God? In the offices of church, elders, deacons, and also a pastor. We make a vow, we make a promise to God. They are asked if they promise to teach and to live according to the truth of the word of God. And they answer, yes, by God's grace, or yes, truly with all my heart. This is not done just so the congregation can hear. No, this is made before the Almighty God. And in the oaths, promises, there is something very important to remember, which is a comfort. That when we make this oath in marriage, as parents, but also in the offices, we are not declaring unto the Lord that I have the ability of myself to keep these oaths. No, we are promising with the utmost, it's my sincere heart's intention to live according to this way. And in their hearts, at the same time, they feel absolutely insufficient. Is that you? When you made confession of faith, it was your heart's sincere desire, but you needed and depending upon the grace of God. Parents, when you made that oath to God, to the Almighty God, and you said yes, do you felt and you still feel so incapable? Office bearers, you made that oath to the Almighty God to teach according to the truth of the word of God and to live accordingly. But did you vow that you have the complete ability in yourself? No, that's not what it is. I hope not. But that you feel so incapable, so dependent, needing the grace of God, needing Him day by day. But in the heart, there needs to be, in making those promises, a sincere desire. And that is why baptism is a serious thing. And if you're not living according to the truth of the word of God, we may not just allow you out of custom or superstition to just baptize your children. You're going to make an oath, and we care for you. And no, we cannot see into your hearts, but if by your life, your lifestyle, that you show to us that you're not living that way at all, you have no care to use the means of grace and to soak your children in the means of grace, then we have the response. We say, at this time, I'm sorry. You cannot make that oath. That would be a lie. So it's care for your own soul and for the glory of God. So if we ever make an oath in marriage, confession of faith, elder, deacon, or as a minister, and it's not with our heart, then it is a false vow. So what is swearing an oath? Making an oath is before the Almighty God. It's actually coming before the presence of an Almighty God, the most high, majestic, holy being in heaven. And to speak before Him, the all-knowing God, that the Lord can look in my heart and that He knows this is the truth. In all my incapabilities, in all my sinfulness, this is my desire, planted by the Almighty God. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. So have you made a vow? Have you? How do you feel tonight? Are you living according to your vow? Or have you broken your vow? There's consequences. There are consequences to breaking vows. And so we come to our last thought. What is the consequence of breaking an oath, a vow, a promise to God? Well, we read in the Heidelberg Catechism, at the end of the answer of 102, that he will bear witness to the truth and punish me if I swear falsely. So an oath is also making to God that if I'm not speaking the truth or if I break my vow, that the Lord could punish me. Does the Lord take vows so seriously that he will punish people if they break the vow? Is that really true? Does the Lord take oaths and promises and vows so seriously? Do we find an example in the Bible? Yes, there are examples. I think of the Gibeonites. Remember? The Israelites came into the land of Canaan, and the Lord told them that they had to kill absolutely every single one of the Canaanites. Men, women, children, all of them. They all had to be put to death. God's command. And remember the Gibeonites? They came deceitfully. They came deceitfully, and they deceived Joshua. And what did Joshua do? He made an oath. We read in Joshua 9 verse 15. He promised to let them live and swear unto them. So they deceived him, and yet Joshua made an oath. Certainly in this situation, if it's broken, the Lord wouldn't take it seriously. Did he? Yes, he did. Because we read, when King David was ruling, in 2 Samuel 21, then there was a famine for 3 years. And David prayed to the Lord. Listen to what we read in 2 Samuel 21 verse 1. Then there was a famine in the days of David. 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, it is for Saul and for his bloody house because he slew the Gibeonites. And this was probably about 400 to 500 years later. That oath that was made to a people that even deceived Joshua. Yes, the Lord takes an oath, a vow, very seriously. There is consequences to breaking an oath. So how did the famine end? How did the Lord end that famine, the punishment? Well, 7 sons of Saul needed to be put to death. And then the Lord ended the famine. But what son of Saul did David not have to be put to death? Mephibosheth. Why? Because of another oath. Because David had made an oath unto Jonathan, which we read in 2 Samuel 21. But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. And so we see in these two examples that the Lord takes the keeping and the breaking of an oath very, very serious. God takes our oaths serious. Have you made a vow? How do you feel tonight? How do you feel in your heart? Can you say, can I say that I have lived as a minister? I made a promise. Can I say I've lived absolutely according to my vow every single moment of my entire life, every moment dedicated serving the Lord, no sin? I'm guilty, congregation. The elders and deacons, guilty. Parents, guilty. Husbands, wives, guilty. Confessing members, guilty. Because who of us can say that we have kept our vow perfectly before the Lord? And let me read in Psalm 25, verse 11, for thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. Is your iniquity great also according to your vows? But let's now end. Let's end with considering the vows of the Almighty God, because there's no comfort in the heart of poor sinners in the oaths that we have made. We heard much instruction, but let's turn now to the oaths of the Almighty God, because there's comfort in who he is, in his oaths for wretched sinners. Do you feel wicked? Do you feel absolutely wicked and lost? Do you think that Almighty God only has pleasure in casting you eternally away? God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Is this true? Yes, the Lord even makes an oath. Listen. Ezekiel 33 verse 11, say unto them, The Israelites were pining away, thinking that the Lord only had delight in casting them away. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? So did you hear it? As I live. He makes an oath. He has no pleasure in the death of the righteous. Oh, they would understand that. But it's not the death of the righteous. It's the death of the wicked. That's God. That's that almighty God who has no pleasure in casting hell-worthy sinners eternally away. Why? Because it's sovereign good pleasure. He delights that they may be saved through his Son. We're covenant breakers. In Adam, we broke the covenant of work. Is there hope for covenant breakers? We all are covenant breakers. Is there hope? Yes, because of him, because of the Almighty God, because of the covenant of grace. And now we read in Psalm 89, my covenant will I not break. That covenant of grace is not in the hands of man at all. What a comfort. But it's in the hands. It's out of the heart of the Almighty Triune God. And he will save his people. And nothing, not the gates of hell, no sin, no unbelief, will ever keep him from fulfilling his covenant. He said, I will send my Son. And he sent his Son. And he said, my Son will come as a substitute. And he came. And he gave everything because of his covenant. And that covenant is sealed with the blood of Christ. He will fulfill it. It's his oath. And he swore by himself that his son David, meaning the Lord Jesus Christ, will forever sit upon the throne. So there's hope. No, not for covenant breakers in themselves or their oaths. But there's hope. And that Almighty God, and the covenant of grace, and that oath, that covenant that is sealed by his own oath and by the blood of his dear son and the Lord Jesus Christ, he came and he delighted to come. He said, send me. And he came to fulfill that covenant. He had no rest until he could rest and say, it is finished. And yet he's that praying high priest and he's gathering his sheep. So you may beg him, Lord, make me one of thy sheep. And church of God, what's your comfort? What's the real solid comfort? Your experiences? Your texts? Is that the comfort? Is it your feelings? Those feelings go up and down. Up and down. What's the comfort for the sheep of the good shepherd? What's the comfort of what he says? What he promises? That they are in his hands. And nothing will ever pluck them out of his hands. As he said in John 10 verse 28 and 29. And none will ever pluck them out of his Father's hand. They're secure in that eternal covenant of grace. In that oath of God. And those feelings can go up and down. But to be able by God's grace and thy spirit to look. May I say it simply? To look to those hands. Those pierced hands. And the almighty hand of the covenant keeping Jehovah. To know on good grounds that you belong to him. That's comfort. That's the real rock. The foundation of knowing I belong unto him. That faithful covenant keeping Jehovah. And all that people can be so tossed with tempest. So tossed. At one times they can sing. Other times they're in the depth. It goes up and down in their life by their experiences. But they need to learn to live. Not by their feelings. Not by their experience. They have experience. But they need to live. To rest upon him. Upon that only Savior. Upon that Almighty covenant keeping Jehovah. He has made an oath. Do you have hope? Has the Lord spoken to your soul a word from the word of God? Applied it to your heart. You knew he was speaking to you. He made a promise. And you knew it at that time. And you could just sink away in adoration. For me? For me? For such a wretched one? Such a hope? But now? You read it again? It seems all darkness. You dig in self. You can't find anything. You read the word. Is it true? Will God ever forsake the work of his hands? Absolutely never. Never at all. Let's end with reading a precious promises of the Almighty God. Open your Bible to Isaiah 54. And we'll read verse 9 and 10. And he speaks this to his dear people, so tossed with tempest and not comforted. Listen, Isaiah 54, verse 9 and 10. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. So the Lord gives a historical example that they could understand. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on thee. Do you hear it, children of God? May that be a comfort to you. You poor, needy, wretched people, so tossed with tempest. His word, his oath, his promise, his covenant, that gives peace. That gives peace because it's sealed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Samuel Rutherford said something so beautiful. They have a little copy, their assurance. That's what he said. They have a copy. Unbelief destroys the copy. That's our guilt. But the original is kept where? In heaven, in the hands of the almighty covenant-keeping Jehovah. There it is. There's salvation. There's the comfort in him. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, we're all guilty because we have made promises and oaths unto thee. And who of us can say I've lived according to the promise? We're guilty as members. We're guilty as husband, wife. We're guilty as parents. We're guilty as office bearers. We're guilty as thy servant. We're all polluted. We're all filthy. We're all wretched. We're all sinful. Lord, wilt thou bring us to that place then that we may cry unto thee for thy name's sake? Pardon my iniquity, for it is great. But Lord, we have also heard a little something of who thou art. Thou art that covenant faithful, keeping Jehovah. Oh, may thy oath, that covenant of grace, be a comfort for thy dear people. Oh, draw them to thyself, to who thou art, through thy Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thou wilt never forsake the work of thine own hands. Oh, what a promise. But oh, that people so often has the Lord ever begun. Lord, we beg thee that thou would remember each of thy dear people and that thy spirit may testify with their spirit that it's thy work and that they may be brought to that true comfort in who thou art through thy Son for wretched sinners. Lord, we acknowledge thee that thou hast helped through in this day, for without thee we can do nothing to listen and to preach. May all the honor and the glory be unto thy name. May we take thy word with us. May we not let the birds of prey pluck it away. May we not allow the cares of this world to choke it out, but that we may take thy word and that we may meditate upon it in this week. Lord, give traveling mercies. Help in the coming Lord's Day. Hear the elders and where we are also called to be. And may we be brought back together in thy mercy. Forgive all our many sins, we ask. In Jesus' name alone, amen. Let us sing now in closing Psalter 425, stanzas 5 and 6. And there we hear of Jehovah's faithfulness. 425, verse 5 and 6. Jehovah's truth will stand forever. His covenant bonds He will not sever. And what follows, 425, stanzas 5 and 6. your congregation receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.